Hey y'all, this is Bree Bagwell with Only Vans, and did you know this is going to be my 13th or 14th year at Music Fest in Steamboat, Colorado? I can't believe it. So this is Music Fest's 40th year being a festival. That is so incredible. It's one of the best music festivals there is. There's over 50 bands. So what are you waiting for? Go to themusicfest.com. Get on that wait list. It sells out every single year almost immediately. So you don't want to miss out. You don't want to be the only person that's not experiencing the coolest music festival there is. When you book your trip to Music Fest at Steamboat, you get 6 nights of mountainside lodging, 4 days lift passes, and 1 night lift pass.
And don't forget that your Music Fest exclusive live music marathon pass is included with over 200 hours of live music and more.
Go to themusicfest.com and tell them Bree Bagwell sent you. The Music Fest at Steamboat, down home, up high. Come get real with us.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in a van.
People need to know how awkward this is. Just me sitting here reading paragraphs and paragraphs.
To me.
To you and my dog by ourselves. Hello, listeners. This is Bree Bagwell with your Only Vans end of year message. Coming live to you from the RV, by the way. Honestly, I'm feeling a little bit of pressure writing this year. Last year's end of year message was one of the biggest and most widely shared podcast episodes ever. I got so many texts about it and still do when people stumble upon it. Maybe more than a few artists felt heard and seen by what I said. Maybe some patrons felt enlightened and shared anger with the state of the music business. Maybe it was just pure honesty lacking the total gloss over and glow of social media. It wasn't a total Debbie Downer of a message, but it sure wasn't glass half full in December 2024. I almost didn't put it out because the team and I felt it had an overall sad tone, despite all of the encouragement and highlights that I sprinkled in. Shiny, tasty sprinkles don't fix a weird as hell cake, I guess. Which is what last year was. Weird. Everyone is feeling it and saying out loud, things are just weird, man. So what are they saying this year? What are people like me, and honestly people not like me at all, but artists who exist in the same music business sphere saying in 2025? Before we dive into that, hang with me. I read a post recently that made me tear up instantly. Don't quote me, but it was something about 2025 being the Chinese zodiac year of the snake, with this being the year that we shed metaphorical skin and things and people and identities that don't serve us. It can leave us feeling raw, exposed, etc. But it's a transition year, and it's making way for something better, tougher, and more powerful. It talked about overworking and perfectionism becoming suffocating, and how letting that go feels tender but is much needed and beautiful. Everyone in our circle still complains that the music business is now video editing, never-ending content creating, being contacted on 18 different platforms 24/7, and oh yeah, still putting out music at light speed or risk getting left behind. That's still high on everyone's "this is total BS and impossible and I'm overwhelmed all the time" list. But what's changed, and what artists are saying or starting to say, is that it feels like we're caring less about how heavy it all feels. It's as if we understand the assignment now, but we aren't throwing a tantrum anymore. We're done stomping our feet, we've taken the homework given to us by society, however unfairly, and we put it in our backpacks and we go home. Then we take it out, either shake our head at it and toss it aside, or work on it begrudgingly, but we don't let it weigh down on our shoulders like it's the end of the world if we don't get famous on TikTok. It's still a lot of seemingly impossible workload that most of us don't like, but it's just part of the job now. I'm sure a lot of people don't like aspects of their jobs either. By the way, if you feel every day like this wet blanket of unfair content homework is about to suffocate you, you have my total permission to wring out that blanket with all your anger, hang it up to dry, and let it exist as just the blanket that it is. A layer on top of you that should only keep you warm with likes and comments and views from those who love what you do, instead of ironically leaving you cold and miserable. I know you just want to write and sing, and I do too, friend. One reason that this all feels a little less heavy overall is due to the transparency that has trickled down to levels below the tip top of the music industry. We all now know that you can pay influencers to use your song to help it go quote unquote viral. Anyone can get a list of them along with their prices. Same goes for Spotify playlisting, that you can seriously multiply your stream numbers overnight with just one paid playlist. You can hire internet gurus to make you trend on Google searches where you shouldn't or don't organically belong. In today's climate, it feels like we're all collectively nodding our heads like, oh, okay, we get it. The tricks and information are becoming more accessible to us all and not only industry secrets anymore. I was shocked when I heard and recapped last year that 100,000 songs a day are uploaded to Spotify. Now that's old news, and the overwhelming clutter is just a fact that lays around all day and is only mildly annoying. Another bog to sludge through. No big deal. So, did some people actually and organically go viral on TikTok? Absolutely. They are very rare cases. Of course, some of them that did go viral may have more behind the total luck curtain, and if they do, good for them, because the wizardry is similar to what it's always been. Money, or a person that can actually pull the puppeteer strings for an artist. Or maybe, just maybe, it's the divine combination of luck, talent, money, timing, and magic. However it looks, I'm done hating on it. I never really did, actually, but I do hate being told almost every weekend that I should try to get famous on TikTok. Did you just wait in line 30 minutes to tell me that, bro? Also, I've done some of these behind-the-scenes moves. This year, I paid to be on a big playlist. I'm monetarily advertising on social media. I just posted a trending idea on TikTok. Well, my team posted it. I still don't get on TikTok because I'll end up watching an hour of makeup how-to videos or get mad that there are 100 fake Brie Bagwell accounts when I search myself. Fake Brie Bagwell is still killing it out there, by the way, y'all. Bottom line is that cash money turns the tide, and big cash money can create the tide, but that's nothing new. Because the thing about the music business is that it has always been messed up as the art is beautiful. It's a shifty history of smoke and mirrors, and as we often say on this podcast, nobody really knows what they're doing, and they never have. Everybody's kind of guessing, and we're all figuring it out as we go. Nashville acts and bigger management have more of a roadmap, but it's not a guarantee by any means. Everyone's constantly pivoting and shifting, but I really believe we are doing it less with the why the hell can he go viral and I can't, and more with the let's play the stupid lottery, give me the dice attitude. We now know that hitting it really big, like selling out stadium big and doing it pretty much overnight, is as lucky as a lightning strike. And we all don't have the same chance at that, and that's okay. The reason that it's okay is because of the pendulum swing that AI is creating. In my opinion, people are craving live music and human interaction at shows with an energy that I can just feel. People don't know what's real anymore on the interwebs, but you know what is real for sure? Everything I do at a live show and everything that a lot of my friends do at live shows. There may be some tracks here and there, but in our genre, we are singing live, playing live, and interacting as ourselves in real time. Who would have thought that would create such value? Thank God it did, and it feels like it's still moving in that direction because it's really all that most of us know how to do. My fear is that ticket fees, scammers, and the overall price of going out to a concert has further polarized our audience. I have a show coming up where a table of four is $173.39, and general admission is over $40. That, plus Ubers and drinks, feels like a lot for a Wednesday, even though it's almost sold out, yeehaw, Fort Worth. That is one of the reasons why we are being increasingly picky about shows and playing less than ever before. Which is still a lot, don't worry. In 2024's message, I talked about the absolute grind not being worth it anymore. And it's because we have to make ourselves and our show a true event, just like the big stadium acts do. It's not $10 at the door for a packed midnight rodeo on a Thursday on the way to New Mexico anymore. It used to be that easy, but that ended with COVID. Since then, we've dried our tears, pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps, and have now shifted from survival mode back to entrepreneur mode. Now we are carefully crafting schedules around markets in a way that we will be scarce there, but not absent. It's more of a jigsaw puzzle than a pile as much on the plate view of routing and booking. It's another beauty of shifting, shedding that identity of a person that's on the road 200 days a year. Is this because I've been doing this so long? I don't think so. I see plenty of youngins riding, staying home, keeping their other jobs, etc., and only taking shows that make sense financially and or doing what's interpreted as cool. That works today, and I believe that's a smart move, which is really great news for them and their livers. I couldn't afford to do that when I started because I was all in, afraid missed opportunities would mean I wouldn't be asked again or I couldn't pay my rent. I really wouldn't wish 15 shows each month on anyone, except that it was equally as fun as it was hard. So to say, super duper freaking fun. I do and I don't miss the good old days. One last AI note. A lot of us record music with session musicians. If you don't know, these are some of the baddest of the bad, mostly residing in Nashville, but also elsewhere too. When I was at Sony ATV, for example, I would get to record 3 of my songs in 1 demo session with some of these top players. They were considered some of the best because they were so incredibly good, but most importantly, so incredibly quick. In 30 minutes, you could have a Nashville quality, incredible, knock you off your feet demo of a song you brought in with just you and a guitar. 30 minutes was absolutely mind-blowing back in 2012 when I had my publishing deal. Now, an app can spit out the same in near seconds. And I'm not talking about a crappy version either. According to my boyfriend, who knows better than me, we're talking about good tone, good quality, good sound. And then, do you want to hear the song as a Jamaican beat? Just ask the app. It would be lying to say that that's not freaking terrifying, because it is. I don't want those session musicians and those track guys and those producers who rely on rapid recording to not have jobs. The people that are the best in the business, but not the name and flashing lights, may be the most at risk. This makes me sad because their talent has been utilized forever and is no less important and definitely not less impressive than the songwriter. I talk a lot at my shows about defining success. I talk a lot on this podcast about being annoyed that people tell me to hang in there when I'm incredibly happy with my life. And grossing an impressive sum of money. The net is not impressive because I'm spending money on waiters, life jackets, and flares from the music swamp to tell the helicopter circling to look at me, and save me, but not the other guys. But I know deep down, if I was playing in stadiums, it would still be content days, TikTok dance pressures, and all the same problems, just with a larger audience and probably more mean comments. That's why I'm really working on shedding the skin of doing anything that doesn't serve me. I've built a big business. My podcast is in the top 10% of all podcasts in the world. I have great shows, great fans, great friends, a great band. My time and talent is valuable, and so is yours. I'm protecting what I've built and defending it with venom. It's exciting to think that what we've worked so hard for as live and constantly touring musicians is becoming a rarity in the world. And though it may feel like your voice isn't cutting through, I promise it is. Hang tight, you little snake. Shake it all off and grow stronger. Thank you, producer Kyle, for everything you do. This podcast is truly one of the absolute highlights of my life. Oh, I made it to the end. Oh. Kyle's here. I'm wearing my Kyle shirt.
That was beautiful. It makes me so excited to read your book.
Yeah, that book that Rachel Lloyd texted me the other day and asked me if I wanted, because you know we do that songwriting group where you have to turn in a song every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I've been out of it for like 6 months and I haven't really written at all. It's sad. But I told her about my book and she wants to write one too. So we might get in like a book writing accountability. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I could consider that a chapter, right?
Yeah.
And consider last year as a chapter. And I really do want to write that book.
I'm excited.
Thank you. It's fun. Yeah. It took me a long time, though.
Yeah.
That takes me like 3 hours. And then I think, and then I edit, and then I think, and then I edit.
Wait, you wrote that in only 3 hours?
Oh, I think that's like a terribly long time.
I mean, to like process everything and make edits and stuff.
Well, I think that, you know, when you told me we're going to do this, then my wheels start turning. Just like the song game. I might write the song in an hour, but I've been thinking about it for 2 weeks.
Sure, sure.
So I've been thinking about it for a long time.
Well, it was very well written.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
Paul said that too. I'm a writer, Kyle. That's what
I
do. But
I do want to
write a book. It's a daunting task.
For sure. You've got a lot to talk about, though.
I think I do. And I think that what we do is kind of talk to people all year long. And it doesn't... You don't realize that you're information gathering when you're talking to your friends. You're like gathering data.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, you can kind of pull all that data and find a theme, which is wild because I wouldn't think that that's what I do, but that's kind of what I do. And that's what you do. And we get to do it more in depth because we have this amazing podcast. Can you believe how many? I was looking at our episodes this year.
Yeah.
We had a good year.
We did.
It was a year of shedding skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a year of transition for the pod, but I really feel big things are coming. I mean, people, just the fact that someone like Josh Crutchmore was like, my goal was to be on your podcast this year.
Yeah, totally.
That's wild.
Right.
And we had so many good guests.
We got to travel a lot.
We got to, we did episodes in Steamboat. We did episodes in Americana Fest in Nashville. Red River 8750 Festival had us out. People are sponsoring the podcast and having us do the podcast at the festivals. That's a new form of contract that my booking agent was like, "What? How do I negotiate this?" It's really wild.
Yeah, but it's been awesome. This is, like you said, this is one of the highlights of my life. Like, it's so much fun doing this.
I hope so.
Yeah.
We're about to get some really good sponsors, but I do want to say that at the top of this podcast, thank you so much to our sponsors. We have not had to really try. Sponsors kind of reach out to us, which has been really beautiful. Yeah. But our listenership has grown, and we are kind of taking this podcast to the next level on our own backs, and we kind of really need some more sponsors.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, our gear, this is a funny thing that I wanted to mention. We record this thing with like a little mobile interface and two iPhones.
Right.
And somehow people don't know that, which shocks me, because a lot of people in this industry, like you said, create content for a living. So you'd think you'd kind of pick up on that. So I guess we don't need to upgrade, but we would like to. So if you want to help support, that would be awesome.
Well, Kyle wants to upgrade because we get here and it's like a roulette. We never know what battery percentage my phone's going to be on. So if we could just get some cameras, then we wouldn't have to be like, "Did you charge your phone? Charge your phone today?"
I believe cameras have the same issue.
Yeah, but you would be in charge of the cameras and not me. So it would probably be totally fine. Your phone is never dead when we get here. Mine is always like a
You've been
it's
pretty
a
good.
Up.
We've been consistent. So now that you're saying that, both phones are going to die during this podcast.
Well, remember the twin? We had the Twin Rivers girls on this year.
And I screwed that one up.
Love them. No. I mean, we had one glitch, but they were surprised that we use phones
right.
and the equipment that we use. Skinny Armadillo Justin sent us two new microphones. That was nice of him. Thank you. We are getting gifts all the time, but I think we're going to bring back t-shirts. I was just thinking, why don't we have our own merch again? Because they went fast.
Yeah, they did.
And then I never reordered them. So be on the lookout for OnlyVans merch. Maybe we use that money to buy new cameras.
Okay, I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
Coming up with live ideas on here. I made a list.
Cool. I mean, you kind of touched on it in your message, but do you have, like, just talk about some of your goals for next year. Like, you mentioned something before we started recording. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but
I do. What was it?
What you and Paul are getting into. I don't know if that's something you want to talk about.
Yeah. You know, diversifying our income streams. I think you get to a certain point of your life where the roller coaster is exhausting. For example, this last 2 weeks, I took off on purpose because I needed a break, and I know I needed a break, and I needed to catch my breath. And I'm still struggling with the idea that I like kind of lose my identity when I'm not on the road playing a show. And I have no idea what to do, because we talk about this on the podcast a lot too, but like when you wake up in the morning, you have a million things to do and nothing at all, actually.
Right.
Like nothing that you have to do. If you write a song, is it going to turn into a dollar? You don't know. If you, you know, go record, it's going to actually cost you thousands of dollars. If you, you know, make a reel, that's great, but then you just got to do that again. So I know that I have the space in my life because I'm touring a little bit less than I used to be, where I could wake up and if I had something else, like for example, a different business that Paul and I want to own, then I could work on that for the first 4 hours of my day and still have the whole rest of my day to do whatever it is that we do and be on the road. Because I mean, I am going to do like the 2 week tours, for example, where we go out for Ashley and I for two or three weeks straight. Probably twice next year. But as far as playing shows, if it's not really good money or it's not really cool or it doesn't make sense, then I'm not really going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's really fun. But so I just took, I guess, back to the point that I was making, which was I just took 2 weeks off. And when you're just spending money, and like I went to Vegas with Paul, and you have no income, it's not near as fun.
Right.
Because you're like, I'm not making money again for another 13 days.
Yeah.
Like, so perhaps we're exploring, you know, owning something else and getting into something else where we would have a little bit more consistent income stream.
Yeah.
That's a goal.
Well, and like you and Rochelle and also many other guests have talked about, that'll make it to where this music thing can be more fun.
Right.
It takes so much pressure off and you can still do all the same things and you can still be motivated to like send those emails and stuff, but it's more rewarding and like the way it used to be when we were little kids.
When we were little kids and it was fun, and there are places that I don't want to play anymore. but they'll pay good. And if I raise my price, they'll keep paying it.
Right.
Where I'm like borderline offended every time I go there by something that I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't want to feel like I have to do that anymore. Anyway, so be more picky, play only great shows that make my heart happy. And then, yeah, maybe diversify the income stream. What about your goals?
Yeah, I've got a couple. It's interesting because I'm kind of, I'm like battling that with my music stuff right now. Like I'm playing a lot of shows that I don't enjoy. I played more shows this year than I've played in any year in my life. And it's been great. And I've paid my bills for the first time as with music.
That's incredible.
It's awesome. And it's a great feeling, but some of those shows really hurt. I played a show the other day that I've played multiple times and it's just an acoustic money gig. And one guy came up to me about halfway through the show and said, hey man, I think nobody's clapping because you sound so much like the radio. And that kind of like felt great and burned at the same time. Cause you know how it feels to play a show when there's like a bunch of people there and nobody's clapping.
Right.
Tough. But then it was also a nice compliment and he was sitting there enjoying it. And I saw him and he was kind of like fueling me, you know, cause nobody else was really paying attention.
Okay. Totally. Because at first I was offended and then I was like, wait,
right.
He's like you're really good.
Right.
And actually, that's really interesting because I did go to one of your shows recently that I like thoroughly enjoyed. My friend Danny and I went and we had the best time. And I think you also have really good pitch.
Mm.
So
I need to mess up more to get their attention.
Try to sing a little bit more flat.
Right.
Like the rest of us.
Yeah.
But maybe like that. So that is a compliment. And also he's saying like,
yeah,
don't feel bad that nobody's clapping.
Right.
But that kind of goes along with my message, which like we're used to nobody clapping after COVID.
Sure.
People stopped clapping after COVID.
It's just the weirdest thing.
Dude, it's so weird. And they might be having the best time, but they're not cheering. And I was watching we watched a documentary, the Muscle Shoals documentary with my family the other day. And like people are just at a concert and they're just yelling and they're just loud and they're clapping and they're screaming and it was in the 70s or something. There was no phones. There was no TVs on. There was no distractions. Like I think that the way that people concert is just different, but it doesn't offend me anymore. Like that's nice of that guy to say, but you're like, oh, we're used to this.
Yeah.
Now
it still bothers me. I gotta figure out how to get over that. Cause I'm definitely gonna be playing gigs next year where people aren't paying attention and I'm just there to make some money, you know, but it bugs me. Two or three songs after that comment was made, a woman came up and requested 7 songs that I had already played.
Oh boy. Already played it.
Yeah.
And
then we finally got to one that I hadn't played. And so I played it a couple songs later. She didn't pay attention, of course. She was just like in the back talking to her buddies or whatever. But she had a stack of cash. Like, you know how at restaurants they'll do the thing where they put cash on the table?
Oh, yeah.
And take money away every time you do something they don't like for your tip?
Oh, no.
She literally did that like standing in front of me with money.
Okay, I don't like that at all.
And it's like, You're telling me you haven't been paying attention at all, which is fine. You don't have to. You're not obligated to pay attention. But, like, you have to understand that this is upsetting. I'm here to play my music, for one, and I get it that you don't know my songs. But also, like, I'm playing these songs that you want to hear, and I've already played them. It's tough, man.
Okay,
it's a weird thing.
That's so wild. And your fuse gets shorter. I mean, my fuse has gotten shorter. The older you get and the better you get and the better shows that you get, then you have like less tolerance for that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to be like, hey, you're being offensive, but which you probably did. But also, I don't have a good slapback ever because I'm processing the fact that that this is happening. Like I never have a good real time comeback because my brain is still figuring out that this person is taking away money as I like.
Right.
Like I'm also, I don't need your $5.
Exactly. I don't care about the money, but it's like, you're doing that to be rude, right?
Oh
like
gosh.
What's the point of, what are you trying to do there?
I know. A guy in Vegas came up the other day and he goes, are your legs, you think your legs are long enough? And I was like, what? I was watching Paul's show, which always happens whenever he's playing. Someone comes and talks to me.
Yeah.
He goes, you think your legs long enough? And I said, what? He's like, do you think your legs are long enough? And I was like, what are you saying? And he's like, oh, I'm saying your legs are really long. You know, God gave you some long legs, which then he throws like God in there, which I'm like, okay. And then I said, I also have brains too. And he goes, I'm just a dirty old man. Forgive me. And then he puts his arm around me and I was like, absolutely not. Like, I'm just floored by what people say, but what people say to musicians. I was just a girl in that moment,
but
what people think is appropriate to say, and also the fact that Zach Bryan could have been sitting over there singing and sounding like as good as you or less good as you,
right?
And then everyone would be freaking out.
Yeah.
So it's like, It's has nothing to do with your talent.
It's not anymore.
Has nothing to do with how good. And then they're like, play something we know, and you do, and then I don't know. The whole thing is so complicated. But I know I try really, really hard not to take things personally. But if I'm having a bad show, I can almost like feel myself starting to crumble inside, or bad response, I guess.
Yeah, you know? And that's another thing we should be. That's like the lineman thing in NFL where they don't get the respect they deserve. It's like, we go through so much shit, and obviously you go through five times as much shit as I do as a woman, and with the success that you have. People don't realize how hard that is, too, to deal with the emotions of just little small things and then still put on a face and put on a great show. That's like the hardest thing about this.
It's really hard, and the linemen get millions of dollars. That's the thing. Well, I would put up with those comments.
They get a tiny amount of money compared to the quarterback.
That's true.
You know.
That's true, but yeah, I don't know. That's a really tough one, but because I feel like I would be able to put up with a lot more if I had a lot more money.
Sure, of course, but you know, it's interesting, and we've talked about that a lot. But I've played money gigs where I'm making a lot more than I would normally make, and I've still had a hard time with like private gigs when people. You're getting paid a ton of money. You should be happy to be there, but then people aren't paying attention, and it sucks. Because, like, I think we really do this for, and maybe not even in an egotistical way, but we do it for the attention. You know, we want people to hear our talent, mm-hmm. and regardless, at least for me, regardless of the money, it's hard when people just don't care.
Totally, I know. It's and you're absolutely right. Because, and sometimes the hard part that I have with it is seeing firsthand. How much another band gets offered for a private show versus Absolutely. What I get offered for a private show. And if it's twice as much and the people still aren't paying attention, how does that feel fair?
Right.
If they're not paying attention to you at that price, then then I need to raise my price. I want nobody to pay attention to me for double what I'm getting. Money probably wouldn't fix that issue. But what's weird about it is if you talk to, you know, I just talked to one of the biggest Texas country stars the other day who had a private party where no one paid attention. Mm. He was upset about it. And it's like, it still happens kind of no matter who you are, or the biggest of the big ones, they don't play private parties anymore because it's not worth it for their...
Right. The brand.
The brand and for their heart.
Mental health.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which I'm glad we're talking about more mental health stuff than we used to. And I do love what I do. What is funny now is I'm having a hard time evaluating what I think is going to be a bad gig or a good gig.
Right.
Sometimes I'm like, this is going to kill. The band's all excited. And then it's like not what we thought. And then sometimes I'm like, this is going to suck. And then it's amazing. So that's been weird for me this year. Do you have, I mean.
Yeah, it's been hard to gauge for sure. Yeah. I mean, we've played I played a lot more full band shows this year than previously. And it was kind of that exact situation where like the ones we were excited about ended up not being very fun. It's all dependent on the energy, and there's no way to know, you know, like you could be going into a place and there could be 500 people there or 20 people there. And usually, unfortunately, the 20 people crowd is way more engaged than the 500 crowd. So,
right. Or how good it feels to have, for example, we're doing the Post coming up. It's almost sold out, which that's what I talked about.
Oh,
in
that's
my,
awesome.
But it's small.
Yeah.
But it's going to sell out, and there are going to be people who paid a lot of money to be there and who care.
Right.
And I think that is the one upside, I guess, to ticket sales or ticket fees being way higher is people are kind of like, I'm going to get my money's worth, and that's going to be paying attention.
Right.
Maybe. And you're maybe weeding out the people that are just coming to meet chicks or whatever, which those people aren't at my concerts anyway. I need to figure out how to get the young girls to my concert to get the young guys to my concert. That's something that has not happened for me, but at least the people that are my fans are able to buy the tickets, and they're really kind.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just growing that pie, because my core fans have been my core fans for so long, and it is growing, but things like my Patreon are, everything's kind of growing really slowly. Same with the podcast. We had like a huge hit right at first, and it's growing. So that's good. We're going up.
Right.
But it's grabbing people, and if you're listening to this, people's attention spans are so short that whenever people say that they love our podcast, I say, awesome, where do you listen? Because I want to know. They say, oh, we just watch the clips on Instagram or we watch the clips on TikTok. And that's cool and all, but man, if you have the time to turn this on and binge it or when you're driving or something, we'd really appreciate it.
Well, the funny thing is they don't know that I make those clips and I choose the most boring parts of the podcast to put in the clips, so you're missing out on all the good stuff.
You're missing out on the good stuff. I didn't know that.
That's not true.
Okay. I was like, they don't seem boring to me. You don't put in like the really dumb things I say, which are
sometimes
funny.
I do.
But like that, you got to tune in for
those. I also need to issue a public apology to you because the thumbnails, the photos, it's been a goal and a mission of mine to choose funny faces. And I don't know if you enjoy that or not.
I love it.
I've had to change a few for the guests, respectfully. So.
Yeah, but guests are like, what are these?
But I'm
absolutely
just,
not.
I'm and just I'm trying like, to yeah. capture the moment, you know?
Yeah. Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
No, I love it. You can tell that I'm either thinking really hard or my mouth's open or I'm laughing. No, it's okay. Yeah. I don't mind. If it gets the click and we get the money, what about in terms of shedding skin? Do you relate to that at all? You released a really great record this year, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's so good. I was playing a little bit of it for Paul again this morning because we listened to it when it came out, and then I was like revisiting it this morning just because it sounds so good. Like, you should be really proud of that.
Thank you. Yeah, that was an interesting one. That was kind of like a passion project. It was really low budget and easy to produce. I didn't promote it as much as the record I put out last year. And people found it, which was great. And I've got a lot of good feedback on it, but I don't know. I still kind of don't know how I feel about it. Cause those are a collection of songs I've written like over the last five or so years. And they were all kind of in the same vein, emotionally very different from most of the stuff that I do. A lot of my like primary music's more like rock, electric guitar, stuff like that. And I just wanted to like kind of prove something to myself. And I guess I did, cause I put the record out, but I don't know I didn't have an end goal there with that record. It's just kind of like a collection of pretty sad songs that I wanted to share. And yeah. I did it in a unique way, you know?
Yeah. You did. I mean, they are pretty songs, but I think they sound great. I think it's a kind of a blend of genres that feels very natural. It doesn't feel like, maybe that's the point, is that you didn't have an end goal in mind and then it came out as it should have came out and existed as it should exist, which is so lovely if we could just do art with that in mind, you know? And maybe, I don't know if you're experiencing this, but I mean, I'm putting out two songs next year that I recorded a year and a half ago. Because of budgeting, and I just want to give them the right light that they deserve.
Sure.
But you get song fatigue where you're not as excited about the songs. So someone like me, I was really excited to hear those songs, but they might be 5 years old to you. So it might be.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think so. Like I just went in to record last week, three new ones, and they're all pretty fresh. So I'm like really excited about those. So I guess, you know, the songs on that record that I put out this year also were all like true stories. And that was kind of the idea behind that project. I'm not generally a true story guy. Like I'll take experiences from friends and stuff because it's easier for me to like kind of tell a story for something that I've seen rather than experienced. So yeah, I don't know. I guess to answer your question, yeah, I kind of like write a song and then move on from it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's like a historical documentation record for you then.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's the thing I'm most excited about, to be able to listen back to that record over the years and just kind of like see how I feel about those memories and stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's really great. Songs from the Canyon. You too can get your own Kyle shirt that I have on today. I love this shirt. And I don't know what it was bringing up in me today, but kind of, do you remember the point in your life where it was like the Lumineers had just came out or something? Or like Mumford and Sons, like that kind of like beat emotion?
Sure, sure.
Like there's the tiniest touch of that.
Okay. Yeah, like that poppy, folky stuff for sure.
But not cheesy.
Right, right, right.
Because when that okay, yeah, it's so good. Anyway.
Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
Before we dive into recapping the year, I wanted to talk more about the mental health stuff.
Yeah.
My biggest goal for myself this year, I'm not really a resolution guy. I'm just more like a goal guy. And this is a little heavy and personal, I guess. And you know this about me, but I used to be morbidly obese when I was a kid. So I have a strange relationship with like health and my weight and stuff like that. So I learned a lot about myself over the last couple years. And my goal this year is to, rather than feel like I'm running away or chasing health, to appreciate my health. And that's going to be really fucking hard. But that's like my number one priority for next year is to learn how to do that. Because it's so stressful and so overwhelming trying to feel like I have to constantly be better and eat better and work out harder and all these things. And it just feels like I've done that with other things in my life. And so if I can figure out how to do that, I just feel like I'll feel so much more whole.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I am always self-helping, you know, self-help books.
Yeah.
That's what I do best. And I just read one. I can't remember what book it is. So that sucks. But at the end of the day, I always look at my to-do list and like what you didn't do. And it just is like grating. That happened to me. So yesterday I did it for the first time where I wrote down everything that I did.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, you're like, I did 50 things.
Right.
Like I did so many things.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same kind of shift because you're not changing anything other than your outlook, right?
Yep.
And how healthy that can be and how all of the things that I love about Buddhism and Zen and all those things, it's and gratitude journals and the universe and all those things that I'm really into is really just perspective.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like I come in here and I'm like, that, like I'm a little bit of a tornado. And Kyle's always like, what's she going to come in? And my band too. And it's like, I would love to walk in here just peaceful and calm and be like, how are you doing today? Like, that's what the person that I want to exude. You were, you know, my tour manager and then my friend and now my, so you kind of get a little more than you should. But it is shifting your perspective into like, this is the person that I want to be. And for me as your friend, looking at you, that's what I want for you.
Yeah.
That's really what I want for you. And that's what you want for me. You don't want me to feel like I'm failing all the time.
Right.
Shortcoming. And I want you to feel happy. And I appreciate you're here. And honestly, we're all just trying our freaking best. Like,
absolutely.
It's hard.
Yeah. But it's fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like those times when you're, I mean, I miss it right now because I haven't seen those idiots in a long time. But when you're vibing with your band and you're all laughing and you're eating pizza and you had a good show and everything's just funny, there's really nothing better than that in the whole world, which that kind of keeps me going. I know that that has been kind of a shift for me, was playing more acoustic shows and less band stuff this year, which has been a little hard because if you're not playing all the time, you're not keeping your chops up all the time. We can't change the show as much, just things like that. And so making that shift has been hard because that camaraderie is part of my gasoline.
Yeah, totally.
It's so much fun. Oh, I miss you guys. Do they even listen to this podcast? I'm not going to tell them.
I bet they do.
I don't know if they do.
I know one of them does.
Oh, Vince.
Yeah.
Vince is on Patreon. He gets it early and ad-free, which you can get on Patreon too for the low, low price of $5 per month.
Nice.
Even though we love our sponsors. I hate to offer that, but okay, great. I love that. What about musically? Anything?
I'm going to double down this year.
Yes.
Yeah. This we talked about that whenever I was a guest on the show last year, whenever that was. My fuel, aside from the camaraderie, like you were talking about, is just the grind of it, the struggle. Not necessarily the people requesting seven songs that I've already played, but the struggle of booking. I'm really business oriented, at least in this business. I don't think I would succeed in any other business. I'm just going to go twice as hard as I did last year. I don't necessarily know what that means. I don't know if I'm going to send twice as many booking emails or if I'm going to try to find an agent. But I'm just going to go harder and try. Yeah. And people tell me this a lot. I do everything as far as social, not, I'm not trying to like gas myself up or anything, but like I try everything. I've done the paid playlists. I've done all my own booking. I've worked with other agents, you know, non-exclusively, and I do the social media thing really hard, and none of it's worked out in a viral way, but it's all worked out, like you said, gradually.
Yeah. Right?
So I'm just going to see if I can increase that gradual climb just a little bit next year.
I love that. And there is definitely value in... Like, I think we're teaming up with, like, Making the Motor Cars to do some co-headlining stuff.
Oh, nice.
To maybe take a little bit of the pressure off of ourselves for ticket sales when you're doing, you know, 100 ticketed events a year.
Right.
That's so heavy. And I just get so exhausted because it can go really well one night. And then the second it doesn't go well for a show, I'm like, I should quit and I'm terrible.
Yeah.
I got to cut that out. And maybe cutting that out is taking a little bit of the pressure off of myself because I wanted, I like couldn't wait to get to do those kinds of shows. And now that I'm doing those kinds of shows, I'm like, like the other day I opened for Kevin Fowler in East Texas because I was off and like, it was whatever we went. I sold almost every bit of merch I had. I played 45 minutes with Paul. I got paid pretty well. Like, I got to hang out with Kevin. You know, it was like, this is fun.
Right.
I forgot. And then the bar hired us. We're going to play our own show there next September.
Nice. Awesome.
So it did what it was supposed to.
Yeah.
Which is like, get me in with the owners, whatever. Right. And we're going to go back. But now I'm already like, oh gosh, okay, I got to sell. Kevin sold this many tickets. What do I think I can sell? And, you know, that burden. That's... And I don't want any of this to think that this is the burden that, like you said, we... crave and we love and like we really work for it and we want to see what works and what doesn't and
we complain about it a lot but it's, but that's just because we're trying to figure it out. That's not because we hate it.
And the only way to process these things are to talk about it and talk about it with other people. And you know, hey, are Facebook ads working for you? Like, what when I'm doing what I found I was, you know, if I'm spending $150 for a show and I told somebody I'm spending $150, I'm getting like thousands of clicks on this ad and then I sold 140 tickets. Like what is the disconnect there?
Right.
And they're like, oh no, I spend $500 a show.
Mm.
And then it's like, oh, maybe it's just the sheer quantity or what, you know, what are you spending and why and how, what's working for you? Or should I just hire an influencer in Fort Worth to post about my show at Billy Bob's next time?
Right.
Maybe it's a different route. I did have a good turnout, but it wasn't sold out.
Well, yeah, and you get screwed the year I was with you at Billy Bob's because it was like negative 20 degrees outside and snowing and hailing. And there still was like, what, 1,000 people showed up to that show?
It was still good. But they shut down the whole Stockyards. Like,
right.
It was icy. Like, none of the bars were open on the Stockyards.
It was crazy.
My parents' flights got canceled.
But it was so much fun.
It was... actually very fun.
Yeah. You bought us all the vests and the green shirts.
Bought everybody green shirts and it was, this year we did bandanas.
Oh, nice.
And then my friend Michaela from More Than Music Creations, love you girl. She made us all matching bandanas. We went and picked out like serape fabric from Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Then she made a bandana for Whiskey. And I started sobbing because it was the cutest thing I've ever seen. Well, then I had the idea to tie that bandana around my boots. So this is an example of it. Look, that's it.
Beautiful.
So I bought bootbandanas.com.
Nice.
And I reached out to
you bought that domain?
I bought the domain.
What?
And I reached out to a manufacturer, so I'm waiting to hear back. But that might be something that I do next year because I did American flags, and then I put it on Etsy, and I was like, show your patriotism, hand-sewn in the United States. And they sold immediately.
Wow.
And then... So and then people want them, you know, so I might launch a product next year.
Do it. That's awesome.
The thing is, the business books that we read, you can kind of sell things before you have them to just see what the demand is.
Sure.
And people want them. So I'm trying to get the prototype and get that, but it's a lot of work. You know, it's not really something I have the extra cash for in the winter.
Yeah.
But come spring when things starting to lighten up, then I might put some cash into a fashion product, which is something that I love.
Right.
You know?
It's awesome.
I want to do more things I like to do, Kyle.
Absolutely.
Which is make money.
Hell yeah.
I hate to say it, but...
I mean, I don't think either of us are really that motivated by money. It's obviously a part of the grind to grow your, or to raise your prices throughout the years, or if you go viral instantly and then hopefully not crash and burn. But
right.
I think we both do it because we really care about it.
Yeah, I really care about it. And I really care about keeping my band, and I really care about keeping this RV maintained, and we need a new trailer, and we need, and all of that is just all tied back to
right.
cash. You know, like, you literally can't keep doing what you love if you don't have any money. And it's a weird business. Like, the price of recording is higher than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And we're making less than a penny, a fraction of a penny for yeah. streams.
And Southwest sucks, and hotels are expensive.
Oh,
and
I know. Southwest was the one thing we could count on being yeah. cheap. Yeah. And it's gone. That's gone.
Yeah.
And then hotels are like double.
Right.
And so, you know, thank goodness gas is down right now, but that's about
yeah.
it. But the cost of us doing business is so high. I mean, people are floored when I'm what my break even is for a night.
I mean, the fact that it's cheaper to get a Airbnb with 5 beds now in most places than 3 hotel rooms is absolutely insane.
Insane. We Airbnb a lot, and people are always offering their houses, which I don't usually do, but, you know, sometimes I'm
sure.
whatever, if you've yeah. got to do it. Nothing against people or anything, but sometimes I come out, there's like one eyelash on my forehead, and we don't, I think the thing is too, I can't stay up all night partying
right.
on the road.
Yeah.
I'm trying to take better care of my body, not drink during the weeks, you know,
yeah.
just, I'm trying not to die at 40.
I'm still trying to figure that out. My band, they're all older than me, but somehow they go harder than anybody I know, and I'm sober. So I'm like sitting in the Airbnb until 4 a.m. trying to hang with them.
Do you have drugs? Do you do drugs?
I don't do anything.
Good for you.
Yeah, I do lots of nicotine and caffeine, and that's it.
Yeah, you do some zenning.
Yeah.
That's great, though, because
yeah.
I do want to say that when you're talking about mental health and we're talking about physical health, there's all these memes and reels and whatever about millennials and how we all go hard because that's when college, we
yeah.
were beer ponging and,
oh, yeah.
you know, all of that came out, beer ponging and whatever. We've been highly trained for this point in our life, but
right.
seeing a lot of people that I truly admire being completely powerless to alcohol, I never understood it. And then you get older in the music business and I know exactly what alcohol is doing to my body. I'm not using it as an upper. I'm not using it as a downer. Alcohol is a numbing agent.
Right.
And when you're on a roller coaster ride all the time, where one day to the next can be the highest high to the lowest low, and you're doing that for 15 years, like, you kind of crave something that makes that a flat road.
Sure.
And that is very dangerous. And then you go on the road and then you get nervous, so you have a shot to take the edge off. And then I get home and I want to see Paul and we want to go have wine and dinner. And then it's, you know, then you're looking at the calendar and being like, okay, you're drinking this many days.
Yeah.
And it can become a problem really, really quickly. And I just never understood it until I got there. And then I was like, oh, okay. I totally get it.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for anybody that is struggling with that. Like, please reach out, get help, because it's not easy, and it's free. One of the things, we get unlimited free alcohol.
Right.
You look in that cabinet up there, and people come to do our meet and greets. People bring wine, whiskey, beer.
And good stuff, too.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Rick Trevino was on this podcast this year. He brought a bottle of whiskey and a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And we are very thankful. Our wine fridge is overflowing, but and it is so nice that people, and I'm not saying don't stop bringing the wine. That's not, don't misinterpret me here. But I am saying it's a very, if it's the one free thing that you have all the time.
Right.
But it's not good. I've not drank for 3 days.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Nice.
It's a good job.
So, and this is not to call you out at all, but that was something I wanted to talk about. Because for me, I never felt like I had a dependency.
Mm.
I just knew that once I started, I couldn't stop, right, until I went to bed or whatever. And I knew that was problematic, but I never viewed myself as an alcoholic, even though there's lots of alcoholism in my family. But it took me until I was, I've been sober 2 years, so 28, to realize that I was masking things that I needed to be experiencing, right?
Yeah.
I have some anger issues, and I've got some avoidance issues and things like that, and it never dawned on me until, like, one specific point in my life that, like, I personally was using it to avoid those things. And I can't say my life's gotten easier since I quit drinking. Definitely being in bars, like, the whole playing a show and then sticking around afterwards to hang out without having a drink is is very difficult. It's like, I feel like the most awkward human being on earth. And I'm figuring it out and I'll get there. But I think that's what I'd say. Anybody who drinks a lot, but doesn't feel like they have to drink every day, at least ask yourself that question. If you feel like you're avoiding anything, whether it's, you know, like childhood trauma, if we want to go that far back, or just like how hard your day is at your normal day job, just be aware of that. Think about it. I'm not trying to convince anybody to be sober. I don't think that's the best thing for everybody. I personally just couldn't handle it. So it took me there.
It was really nice talking to Adam Hood, right?
Who's
sober now.
Right.
And he said the anxiety's still there.
Yeah.
The awkwardness is still there. So, and that's, Paul and I talk about it a lot. It's like the alcohol, we both prefer to play without alcohol,
right.
Especially him. It's so technical.
Yeah.
But him going out to do the meet and greets with the people.
Yeah.
If you're an awkward or a shy person or, you know, which actually people assume that I'm not, but I'm kind of I'm pretty awkward.
I feel like pretty much anybody is though.
Yeah.
Like, not to downplay you, but like in a large crowd of people, especially whenever all the attention's on you, that's just a hard situation to be in.
And you never know what anyone's going to say.
Yeah.
You were there the other night where this guy, well, it started with Vince saying we should put a GoPro on you just for the things that people say to you at merch.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, we're at this bar. It's going to be totally fine. This crowd is, no one's going to say anything offensive.
Yeah.
And it was like, what? One thing after another, and I'm looking at Ashley, and she's like, we should have got the GoPro, because, I mean, this guy put his arm around me, and he said, here, take a picture with me, I'm going to show it to my daughter and tell her you're my new girlfriend, and I said, and he put his arm, like, kind of really around my waist, I said, hey, man, don't do that, like, I got a boyfriend, he's like, it's fine, he snaps the picture, and I go, well, I hope she's, I can't remember how I said it, but basically, I was saying, I hope she's not, like, old enough to no,
right.
or that this is weird,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And he goes, oh, she's 17 or something, and he walked off, and I just hated all of that, because
sure.
I told him, like, I have a boyfriend, this isn't cool, like, kind of pushed him away, and I tried my best, and he did it anyway, against my wishes, and totally ignored how I was feeling,
yeah,
and I looked at, and it's like, I had my glass of wine there, I was like, that's why I drink,
yeah.
The drinking isn't going to make that go away, because I'm still mad about it, right?
Right,
it
right,
doesn't,
right.
But at the time, it makes you at least be like, okay, I got a line of people.
It like
and
helps
I don't
you live
think
in the moment
this.
Temporarily, but then it just pushes everything back.
Totally,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think don't this, do that. Don't
so,
come up to me and pretend to be.
So why did everybody? Was it COVID that made everybody lose common sense? I guess that specific issue is a little bit more of a respect thing, and I feel like that's always been an issue. But like,
right.
I feel like this year, it's just been more apparent than before. That most people, or a lot of people, don't have common sense anymore. They don't understand, like back to that woman who requested all the songs. She came up and did that in the middle of a song. Like, and I can't wrap my head around so many interactions with people where it's just like, you're not using your brain at all.
Yeah. I don't know. Or I think we're so in star influencer culture that, you know, someone was like, how come there's nobody here at one of my shows? And I was like, really offended. I thought there was a good crowd there.
Yeah, right.
And it's almost when you know, when I get on my phone, what's suggested to me is stadiums, you know,
right,
Ella,
right.
Lainey, like those are the faces that are popping up.
Sure.
And the Zach Bryans and those are the things that are popping up. And I feel like people are so enamored with stars that if you're accessible at all in human form, then you're not a star and that you are different? Is that not making any sense?
No, yeah, I think so. I mean, that's the world I'm in, because I'm trying to figure out how to sell tickets at all. So I'm looking at guys like Braxton and Hudson and those dudes who are outstanding and they deserve everything they have,
yeah,
right?
I agree.
Or Dylan Gossett's another big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think, and I say this often, and it's kind of corny, but like, I don't think I'm owed anything, but I feel like I deserve just as much.
100%. I feel like that too.
And that's, I feel like that's a healthy mentality, but it's hard, right? Because like, I'm working really hard. I'm playing a lot of shows. I'm spending a lot of money on advertising. I'm making the records. I'm putting out good quality product.
Right.
And you see the sustainable growth, which is the only proven way to do it. So it's good and it's like reassuring, but at the same time, it's like the amount of times I've played a show I played a show recently and I kind of was mad. I was like bothered by something that happened. And so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to play a song that I want to play. And I played a Taylor Swift song and I saw a guy making fun of me in the crowd. And like, I kind of expect that, you know, you've seen that because I wear a Taylor Swift hoodie sometimes and people have given me shit for it. And it's like, whatever, I'm going to be me.
I love Taylor. Her new record is really good.
But then at the same time, that guy's girlfriend or a girl that was there with him was singing along. So it's like, what am I doing wrong? You know? And that's the thing. It's hard to feel like I'm not, it's hard to feel like I'm doing everything right or that I'm not doing something wrong. And I guess that's the battle. Like I'm, you know, there's nothing I could be doing other than spending a shitload of money that I don't have to get these people there. But it does feel like there's no middle ground anymore. Like the world you've existed in.
Right.
I mean, you've surpassed that now, and I think you'll stay there as long as you want to. And I understand it probably doesn't feel like that, but from my perspective, it feels like you can sustain at that level you're at, and maybe even a little bit higher for as long as you want at this point. Hopefully way, way larger.
Well, that's the goal.
Of course. But for me, it feels like I'm at my peak until I jump the 10 steps that used to be there.
I see what you mean.
So like, I'm selling zero tickets, basically. And my next step is to sell 1,000 tickets.
I see. That makes total sense. And that's exactly what I said about Rock and Rodeos on Thursday was the routing gig that you just got.
Yeah.
Anyone could get it. Yeah. It was not that I deserved to get it or I was selling out rooms. I wasn't selling out rooms. But you just were because it existed. Yeah. They would hire you for Texas Country Thursdays or Wednesdays and you would... there would just be people there that were supporting the overall genre.
Exactly.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
So that is interesting because, and it's also, there's a ton of people who can't get any gigs. Yeah. So it's like, we are thankful, but it is timing. That's really funny because I've always felt like I've had bad timing. Mm. So maybe in that sense, I did at least have some timing.
Yeah.
But I firmly believe that, like, it's hard to even say because I want to be like, you're not at your peak because you're not. I mean, you deserve so much more, but you're actually good. And I really feel like eventually the cream rises, right?
Sure.
It might just be in a different way. But I had someone the other day that I know has told someone else, well, she can't sell tickets. You know, I bet she wishes she could sell tickets. There's still like that stigma when I'm like, I'm selling more tickets than a lot of people that I know that I've always wanted, but I'm not selling out stadiums and you're still talking trash about me.
Yeah.
So it's like, for me to get to that next level, that's going to take a big manager or a big record deal.
Sure.
Which I don't even know if I'm going to find or ever. And so that's hard when it's completely out of my hands.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, we have the same problem basically. Yeah. You're feeling like it's a little bit out of your hands because if there was a next step, you would just take it.
Right.
And so would I.
Yeah.
And instead, we're doing everything we possibly can in hopes that we can jump. Interesting. That's a lot to think about.
Yeah, for sure.
Wild.
It's a lot of fun.
But I think you have too. You've established yourself. You're a serious business person, which I was talking to Aaron Watson the other day. It's like, that's a serious business person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a person who has... place themselves and identified themselves as an underdog. His record's called The Underdog. He's an independent person who's like, screw Nashville. And it's like really worked in his favor to put himself as that image. So for me, some people will come up to me, it happens all, you should do what Aaron Watson does and just be independent. And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm doing. But how come you don't think that I'm doing that? It's because I haven't told them what to think.
Right.
And I think that someone like you and someone like me, we're not in the business of saying, here's what you need to think, which people that are a little bit more narcissistic than you have no problem doing
that. Sure, absolutely.
And not saying that.
I've tried, I guess that's a hard thing to fake.
Yeah.
You know, like I definitely feel like I do have some narcissistic tendencies, but I guess not to a certain degree that it benefits me. I don't know. That's interesting. Because like I've tried to do
stuff
like that.
You don't have manipulative, narcissistic tendencies.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not the kind of person who's going to tell somebody how to think. So it's hard for me to cut through, at least on social media that way. And I've tried. But I think it just doesn't come across as authentic.
I know. Well, because we are not those people.
Yeah.
And the world needs artists like you and me. And I think that my hope is that. And it's honestly not my hope anymore. That's the thing.
Right.
people that listen to this podcast that tell me, that pull me aside, that text me, that send me emails that are like, this is a very important podcast. What you guys are saying is very important and I love it and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So it's not even my hope. Like, that's what we are doing. And like, this conversation included is letting other people know that you're not alone in feeling the way that you feel, and you're not alone in feeling like you deserve more. And it's okay to feel like you deserve more, because you probably do.
Yeah.
Because it's art. It's not who cleans the best teeth. It's not who, you know, it's, there's no metric who makes the best product. It's right. Like, it's so subjective and it's so unfair.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. That makes me think too about like, me and you talk a lot about like uplifting friends and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And in the scene, or even if they're in different industries, like me and you both, you more so than me, I actually feel like I owe a lot to you, and I'm sure you know that.
What?
But
no.
We were done crying. You're a very serious business person as well. But I mean, like, especially this year, you've opened a lot of doors for me. Oh. And I don't even know if you were trying to do that, but you've really like offered me a lot, and I'm very appreciative.
Well, I thank you for saying that yeah. and acknowledging it. I will do anything for you that I can, always, because I believe in your talent, but also you're a very smart person who works very hard, which is like near and dear to my heart, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what I love in a human being. And I don't do things for other people, neither do you, expecting things in return.
Right.
But I do appreciate when they're acknowledged, and I do appreciate that you like recognize it and tell me, because,
yeah.
and that you don't belittle it.
Sure.
Like, that is important to me.
Right.
Because when you work hard and you do good things, and, you know, I try to be a good person, so do you. And I believe it comes back in the form of karma. People have done things for me, absolutely, and I appreciate them too.
You want to talk about the opposite, whenever you do things for people and they just don't give a shit?
Or they're like, that was beneath me.
Right. We don't have to talk about that. I was just kidding.
No. I think that time, this is what I want to say. Time shakes everything out.
Okay.
And you know, things, if something's happening to you right now, or something feels sad to you or whatever, and you know that it's wrong, I think time will eventually reveal people's true character, people's true intentions. And it might feel unfair right now, but man, I really love going to sleep at night knowing that I am authentic to myself and genuine and appreciative and try to be a kind person.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And time, you know, whatever.
I also think that a lot of people in the world feel better about life because you are the way you are.
Oh, Kyle. Thank you. Oh, yeah. No. I mean, that's going to get me. At the end of every year, I really evaluate everything, right? And at the end of last year, I was like really hoping that by the end of this year, you know, things would be just so much better.
Yeah.
We're dealing with a lot of rainwater city issues where we can't move into our new house. And there's been some crazy taxes stuff come along. And so I just get always really reflective at the end of the year, but the beginning of the year brings a lot of renewed energy for me. And
yeah.
I'm really excited about next year and what the podcast is going to do next year, what you're going to do next year, what I'm going to do. And honestly, we have done a lot of great things, and I don't want to be down too much about it, but it is a really hard life, and we choose a hard life.
Yeah.
And so at some point you want it to circle back and give you a pat on the head,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And the pat on the head is sometimes a great show, but for me, I want that pat on the head to be $1 million.
Yeah, same.
Or someone to come drill a well on our property for free.
Right.
You got to throw it out there. You never know what people are
going to
get back
with you. Y'all have gotten a lot of celebrity help on this project so far.
Willie Braun made our countertops this
yeah.
year. I can't believe it. Some of Randy Rogers' band helped with our drywall and our woodworking, and we've had a lot of really great help.
People are good. See, like, people are so good that it makes it hard for me to wrap my head whenever people don't have good intentions.
Right. You know what I'm finding out more is that when you know who you are, a lot of people say I'm too nice or whatever, which you know I'm not as nice as people think I am.
You're pretty nice.
Thank you. People say I'm too nice. I can't be any other way. Neither can you.
Yeah.
People that are not the way that I am are masking giant insecurities.
Sure.
People that are, you know, rude in business or have intentions that are not clear, those people are masking giant insecurities. And the thing that they're insecure about is that they know you're genuine and they're not.
Right.
That's what's happening. And so, you know, can I be a little bit more bold in business? Yes. But also I hired an agent who is really bold in business.
Yeah.
I hire a PR team that is really bold in business. True. They are, so I don't have to be, so I can protect the person that I am. And that's also okay.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that enough. You know, and I mean, the other day I had a really hard conversation with an employee. I'm capable of being that person because I have to be as a manager of people and a leader. I'm capable. It's not that I'm not capable. It's that I don't want to be that person all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hide my intentions. And you know what my intentions are? To bring good art into this world and to lift other people who bring good art into this world up too.
Yeah.
And if that's my purpose on this earth, then I'm okay with that.
That's great. I feel like money makes things easier, but vulnerability is the key to happiness.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Paul says that money amplifies who you are. If you're a good person, it makes you better.
I would absolutely
agree
with that.
If you're a bad person, it makes you worse.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, me
too. How many great rich people have you met? I've met so many great rich people.
Yeah, there's definitely not an in-between. It's either like you suck or you're the best person I've ever met.
Gosh. That is so true. If you're a mediocre rich person, like reach
out. That's really confusing. Yeah. Yeah, reach out. Let's have you on the show.
Let's have you on the podcast. You kind of suck, but you're kind of awesome at the same time.
That's hilarious.
That is so funny. Oh my gosh. Do you think we did it? Do you think our phones are dead?
Probably.
We should check.
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
You're a great person.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, OnlyFans listeners.
I want to give a shout to our friend Shelton, who got engaged this week.
I couldn't watch this video. I immediately started
crying. Yeah.
I mean,
we can cut this out, or I'll send this.
No, leave it in, Shelton. We love you.
We love you.
The Sheltons everywhere, we also love you, too.
He's one of the best.
He is. Okay, goodbye.
Bye.